For too many, the present is hard enough. Income inequality has soared. Inflation-adjusted middle-class wages have been nearly frozen for the last four decades, while earnings of the top 1% have nearly tripled. The recovery from the crash of 2008, which saw banks and bankers bailed out while millions lost their homes, savings, and jobs, was reserved almost exclusively for the wealthiest. Their incomes in the 3 years following the crash went up by nearly a third, while the bottom 99% saw an uptick of less than 1%. Only a democracy and an economy that has discarded its basic mission of holding the community together or failed at it would produce these results. Meanwhile, the celebrated American economic mobility engine is sputtering. For adults in their 30s, the chance of earning more than their parents dropped to 50% from 90% just two generations earlier. The American middle class, once an aspirational model for the world, is no longer the world's richest. Most Americans with average incomes have been left to fend for themselves, often at jobs where automation, outsourcing, the decline of union protection, and the boss's obsession with squeezing out every penny of short-term profit have eroded any sense of security. In 2017, household debt had grown higher than the peak reached in 2008 before the crash, with student and automobile loans staking growing claims on family paychecks. Although the U.S. remains the world's richest country, it has the third highest poverty rate among the 35 nations in the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, OECD, behind only Turkey and Israel. Nearly one in five American children lives in a household that the government classifies as food insecure, meaning they are without access to enough food for active, healthy living. Beyond that, too few basic services seem to work as they should. America's airports are an embarrassment, and a modern air traffic control system is more than 25 years behind its original schedule. The power grid, roads, and rails are crumbling, pushing the U.S. far down international rankings for infrastructure quality. Despite spending more on health care and K-12 education per capita than most other developed countries, health care outcomes and student achievement also rank in the middle or worse globally. Among the 35 OECD countries, American children rank 30th in math proficiency and 19th in science. American politicians talk about American exceptionalism so habitually that it should have its own key on their speechwriters' laptops. Is this the exceptionalism they have in mind? Perhaps they should look at their own performance, which is best described as pathetic. Congress has not passed a comprehensive budget on time without omnibus bills since 1994. There are more than 20 registered lobbyists for every member of Congress. Most are deployed to block anything that would tax, regulate, or otherwise threaten a deep-pocketed client. Indeed, money has come to dominate everything so completely that the people we send to D.C. to represent us have been reduced to begging on the phone for campaign cash up to 5 hours a day and spending their evenings taking checks at fundraisers organized by those swarming lobbyists. A gerrymandering process has rigged easy wins for most of them, as long as they fend off primary challengers, which ensures that they will gravitate toward the special interest positions of their donors and their party's base, while racking up mounting deficits to pay for goods and services that cost more than budgeted, rarely work as promised, and are seldom delivered on time.